Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in our ongoing series, Surviving the 21st Century, a chance to look at health and nutrition in our modern world. Joining me, as always, are my good friends, the writing and research team of Manny Barling and Ashley F. Brooks. Hello to both of you.
Well, good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Simon.
Manny, this is completely off topic, because I know that this is supposed to be a food and health program, but you have a background in the legal industry, and I'd just like your opinion on this. There was a news story out of Nevada this week that had me just rolling my eyes. Apparently, a 32-year-old woman has been sentenced to life imprisonment, which, incidentally, is the same sentence she would have got for second-degree murder, but her crime was somewhat different. She permitted a 13-year-old boy to touch her boobs. No clothing was removed. She just said, sure, if you want to. And the little snot told on her. I mean, I think life in prison is a little bit harsh. I mean, she probably made the little boy's, whole day. Yeah, I mean,
Simon, just want to know, were there any women on that jury?
I'm not sure.
Are there any men on the jury is really what I meant.
I just read the story, and I went, huh? this cannot be so.
Boy, is that cruel and unusual.
You left me speechless.
there's an old expression, the law is an ass. Well, today it is just demonstrated why it's an ass. I mean, that's just absurd.
But this demonstrates the law is a boob.
God, I'm amazed at the draconian types of punishments that this country comes up with. And most of them are in the smaller states where religious viewpoints and other things control and local standards are what they are if you know what they are. And I just think it's a very strange, difficult time in our country. And by the way, this probably went on back in the post-Depression era and the rest of it. We just didn't realize it because it wasn't as much media coverage. So someone could have easily been sentenced to death for something like this, and who would have noticed?
Okay. Enough of the legal wrangling. We do that on a different program. Manny, where should we start today?
Well, I think Ashley's got a little story for us, don't you, Ashley?
I do. I was excited to find where they think right now from Harvard University. They think where man started their first processed foods. And it is shocking. It goes back 1.8 million years to a place called Kaikasilay off Lake Turkana in Africa. And it was the Homo erectus. And because it's in Lake Turkana, Africa, they call it the Turkana boy, which he was an upright walking teenager that they found the bones of. And the excavation, they thought at that time, was 1.5 million, but the site was actually 1.76 million years ago. And when they started, Harvard took the and looked at the area, they discovered that they confirmed that a Kenyan man had developed hand axes, picks, and other innovative tools 300,000 1,000 years earlier than previously thought. So we are all thinking our kitchen tools are so modern. It's like, wow, this has been around a long time. So they further discovered, they were looking into the remains and they checked the DNA from the fossils. And that's pretty amazing to me, too, the fact that the DNA is still alive in the fossils of these men, that they can actually research them. And they discovered that the humans were avoiding raw meat and consuming processed foods way back then. So they published this report in the National Academy of Sciences, and the ancestors had taken that step that made the evolution of what's happening right now with our processed foods. That was the beginning of it. So raw foods were softened with fire and tools by this Homo erectus. It was like 1.8 million years ago. And the consumption reduced his eating of the raw meat, and he started eating other things. So without that advancement, humans would spend 48% of their time eating like ordinary primates, like an ordinary animal, and wouldn't have time to evolve into the areas of research that we've now gotten into. Now, I found that kind of interesting.
I'm surprised that they didn't call it Monsanto Man.
I think the future man might be that.
Right.
You know, because if we keep doing genetically engineered rather than what they did back then, I guess just using, you know, organic foods.
I think that you've hit on something very important. Our ancestors were not necessarily carnivores. They rapidly evolved into, you know, farmers. And I think this is what, you know, this particular find exemplifies. You know, they didn't eat a lot of meat. Yeah, it was much more vegetables and grains.
I agree, Simon, and it's become good advertising to get people to eat a lot of meat, and you know, and raw meat. Raw meat's supposed to be healthy for you. It used to be, and I think that really. What do you think of that, Manny?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that people haven't really changed in all this time. And the more they discover, the more they find out that basically human beings had the same issues then that they have now. Some were meat eaters, some were vegetarians, some were farmers, some were against furs, some were against, you know, the climate.
Oh, I don't think they were ever against furs back 1.8 million years ago.
No,
that would keep them warm.
Well, my comment's more, you know, directed towards the fact there were liberal causes back there. There were conservative causes. Mankind has not changed that much. The only issue is whether those guys were ancient astronauts or whether they were really indigenous to this earth, and that's a question that no one's going to answer easily. So at the end of the day, and the more we discover about our ancestors, the more we're going to find they were more like us than anybody ever anticipated.
And especially since people constantly give the excuse, oh, it's in the genes. Well, if you're checking DNA 1.8 million years ago, we can go back 1.8 million years ago, and how come they didn't have all these diseases back then?
In fact, the bigger question is, I didn't realize that Calvin Klein went back that far.
Well, I'm sure there was somebody selling something, you know. That's one human emotion that I don't think is ever going away is, so what can I sell you, you know? But, no, I think that some of these tests are really interesting. There was a genetic test I read while writing our books about how you can trace back all of our heritage to about 30,000 people in Central Europe, and all our DNA comes from the same source. Well, you know, which means we're all really brothers, or, you know, everybody flew in from another planet and colonized this. The only problem is their superpowers didn't last, you know? But I think that's sort of where it all went, and which raises the next thing is, sugar and salt were probably a problem then. The problem then was finding it. So one of the reasons there was probably no diabetes and a lot of our health problems, you know, a couple million years ago, is that people didn't have candy bars. They didn't have 7-Elevens. They didn't have a million other places, Krispy Kreme, donut stands, Dunkin' Donuts, you name it. And that had a lot to do it. So that's where we're going today, by popular demand, namely, I've got lots of emails and phone calls. We're going to again dive into the bowl of sugar, aspartame and Splenda. Along the way, we're going to explore the sugar in frozen foods, ice cream, soft drinks, candy. So we hope you brought your sweet tooth, because we're going to talk to him or her about what you're eating. So we're going to get into sugar a little bit. But before we do it, Simon, let's go back over some thoughts from yesterday, you know, our last week's show.
But before we do, Manny, are we going to touch recalls at all?
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't jump into them, Ashley.
Oh,
you want to do them,
hey,
do them.
I think the recalls are really, really important right now, especially because it's on everybody, and it's something that I used to buy at the market before going organic. There's a listeria outbreak with the toll rising right now with cantaloupe. It was yanked as of yesterday, and there are deaths in Nebraska of an 80-year-old and a 95-year-old Missouri woman, plus five cases of listeria. The strain itself has affected at least 61 people, with 10 more deaths in other states. The official update they actually had, that was as of the 24th, but their official update as of September 21 was 51 people were sickened by the listeria, with 14 states now having deaths. So it had eight cases, and I mean, it goes throughout the entire United States. And to be safe, I think that one of the things that you should absolutely do is don't eat your cantaloupe right now. I would discard it. And I know that's a really broad statement to say, but they're saying that the recall came out of a Jensen farm in Rocky Ford brand cantaloupe. But the difficulty is that some of the cantaloupe is not, they don't have a mark on the cantaloupe. So the fact that there's a possibility of getting listeria is, you know, it's a deadly disease, so it's a deadly bacteria. In older adults, especially with immune system problems, pregnant women, newborns, it's a very, very serious illness, especially for that. It can includes fever, muscle aches, diarrhea, vomiting. In pregnant women, it can cause mild flu-like illnesses, and it can lead to miscarriage and stillborn premature delivery. So this is a very life-threatening, serious, serious illness. If you can go into the Internet, look at Jensen Farms recalled its Rocky Ford brand cantaloupe. I'm not trying to put a panic on it, but the fact that some of the cantaloupes on the shelf are not labeled is, to me, very serious. Then moving on from there, we had a recall on ground beef.
Well, actually, before you move on, there's something that slightly bothers me. Cantaloupes are large critters. How can one farm possibly end up with cantaloupes in, I think you said, 14 states, however,
yeah.
That there's, oh, the infamous anecdotal stuff, you know, that says that it might actually be 25 states.
Right.
How can this happen? How can one farm possibly get produce into so many states?
I don't know, Manny. You got an answer for that one? I don't.
Well, yeah, it's the way they're distributed. And what's more, they don't mark their lots. A lot of different food lots and other things are marked with labels, or they're given tracking codes, as you can see in the bottom of some boxes. So when you see those tracking codes, you can sort of trace them. But when it comes to fresh fruit, they don't have anything like that. And the boxes they generally come in the markets don't have really good marking. And part of it is because they don't really want to. So the end result is it's just a simple issue of being sloppy. So because they can't trace these things particularly well, then the food recalls are much larger than they may be under different circumstances. Dr. Francis Tickey constantly reminds me of this, that's one of the flaws in today's system is they cannot accurately trace recalled food, so they're sort of on a hit and miss, and there's not enough personnel within the FDA and the USDA to track it, which I think is a travesty.
And especially since some of it, Manny, as I said, some of it just is unlabeled. So you have a catalog that's unlabeled.
That's just what
I so would I be off the mark in assuming that Jensen Farms is just one of many farms that produce cantaloupes? It goes to some sort of central facility, and so their cantaloupes get mixed in with everyone else's, and from there we have a nationwide distribution.
Well, that may be, I'm not sure if that's true of cantaloupes. I can't really say that for certain. But it is true of a wide variety of other basic foodstuffs. It depends on whether the person who produces belongs to some kind of co-op where they share those costs. So, again, you got to take a look at where the recall is. So that's one reason we've only been doing the recalls, is because it's been so difficult for us or anyone else to really effectively trace where this food goes or what they do with it.
And one of the things they say is you should discard the cantaloupe. See, for me, it is not only taking it back because, here you go, here's your cantaloupe, I don't want your toxins, but it is also so they have a trace on the fact that if you or your family have had any of this should be reported. I mean, I think if you've had some, it should actually be reported, but, you know, there's no way of knowing. You know?
Well, I think it's a bigger issue than that, is why should the American public pay for their abuses? I mean, the fact is that this is generally caused by a lack of cleanliness, a mismanagement of the area, of the farm that it's being bred at, and it's just a measure of poor quality work. But if you just throw it in the trash, guess what? They continue to make a profit, and whose interest is in that? So if you think they're going to motivate you to return something to the store, I think that you're wrong, because they just don't want to do that. Don't you agree?
Oh, they want to motivate you to sticking it in the garbage and going and buying some stuff to replace it. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, Ashley, I do apologize. I jumped in on your recall, but I thought it was an important subject.
It is an important, yes. It is, Simon. It's very important, and thank you for doing that. And I actually should conclude that if somebody starts having muscle aches or they have a headache, they have a stiff neck, confusion, loss of balance, convulsions, any of that, look back and see if anybody's had some cantaloupe, because that's some of the listeria danger, and it's like go to the emergency room immediately. And now with the recall, ground beef, there's a recall for school lunches, and there was 40,000 pounds of frozen ground beef that was intended to serve for lunches at 6 schools in Georgia, contaminated with E. coli. And this actually somehow escaped the fact that this actually had a production code USDA mark inspection on it. So it passed an inspection and somehow got into the market or something, Manny. I don't quite understand how this one happened.
I don't know. I didn't do the recall.
Oh, okay. All right. So as a result of the sample tracking, they discovered that this is where the frozen ground beef was, and that was a recall. And then we had one other recall, which was the Pepperidge Farm recalls, which was some sesame seeds, and they had 13 sesame sticks of Pepperidge Farm, 13,000 cases was recalled. So that's it for the recalls for right now.
I'm speechless. How can you recall Pepperidge Farm?
I know.
The problem I have with recalls is that they tend to happen way long after the likelihood is that all of the stuff's being consumed. Now, obviously, that's not the case with the ground beef, I understand.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, why is there this big delay?
I don't know, Ashley. You're the one doing these recalls. Don't look at me.
I don't know why there is a delay, and it is one of the most frustrating things, Simon, because I do read it, and I go, wait a second, this was what? This has been on the shelves, like for the cantaloupe, this has been on the shelves for 2 weeks. how can this be on the shelf for 2 weeks and all of a sudden it has listeria? No. So there's no way to really, and that is an ongoing question that has been ongoing with the recalls, and why I keep saying on when we do recalls to please check the recalls, especially before you go to the market. And, you know, check it after you go to the market because, you know, if the recalls happen during that week, you need to know that to protect yourself and the family. And the only protection, thank God we have the Internet, that we can actually look up some of the recalls. But for me, I really think that it should be, you know, front page.
Okay. There's dead air. I'm in complete agreement with you. It bothers me, though, that someone appears to be sat, you know, with their, well, sitting with their thumbs up their bum, going, we can sit on this for a week. And by that time, all of the cantaloupe will be eaten. And, hey, we can issue a recall. And, hey, no harm, no foul.
Well, right, Simon. And it's like even the ground beef are saying, oh, gee, we're so sorry. This was a result of a sample tracking error. You know, the tracking's there. It's sent out in bulk. It's in our warehouse. We're so sorry. We didn't mean to ship it. Aww. I just and what's concerning right now is with lack of funds in America, if we have fewer and fewer people who are actually keeping on top of recalls, which is really concerning me and concerning, I think, should concern Americans, that if we don't have enough money to pay more people to keep on top of it, then we have to take care of each other and just keep checking on the Internet and checking to see on the recalls on our own. We're basically on our own with it.
Is there a good place that our listeners can find the information easily? Because it certainly isn't easy to find on the FDA site.
It isn't easy to find on the FDA site. I do like the, there's a food recalls, just foodrecalls.com site, which seems to be pretty accurate, but sometimes even it's behind. And it's tough to keep on top of what the recalls are for that particular day. It really is. And again, FDA said, well, we're going to do a new site. We're going to put this new site together so everybody can just go there and check the recalls. Well, you've done it, Simon. You've looked for it and looked at it. And a lot of the recalls we do just are not on that recall list.
No, they're not. They are there, but it takes a lot of digging to actually find them.
Yes, it does. It does. Well, Manny, you wanted to go back to your sugar?
Well, I don't know. You guys done?
Yeah, we're finished.
Oh,
I think Manny's
sorry,
over going,
Manny.
I want to talk about sugar.
Well, it's not that I want to talk about sugar. I mean, recalls are recalls. They're very important to everybody, and I want to make sure you got your points in because, you know, nobody wants to go to the store and go, gee, you know, I think I'll serve hamburgers and fresh fruit today and find out their, you know, cantaloupe has a listeria and their hamburger has E. coli. What bothers me most is, and the only comment I want to make about it is, this recall of beef was for food to go to the National School Lunch Program. So essentially, all of this E. coli beef was going to be used to create food for young minority children who are in the lunch program whose ages could age anywhere from 3 years old in a preschool to 7 or 8 years old in grammar school, et cetera. So they are the most vulnerable part of our population could be receiving hamburger with E. coli. And this ends up on the back page of the newspaper, although I scour newspapers for recalls because I'm curious, and this one didn't reappear anywhere, and it won't appear anywhere, because guess what? They don't want you to know. So here we are feeding children, and again, this is a racial issue, minority children in poor, impoverished schools that need these lunches, dangerous food. And on that note, the next most dangerous thing they feed them is any kind of sugar they can get away with. And as we discussed last week, this abuse of sugar, not by Americans, but by the food industry, is now exposing another 79 million American adults to higher blood sugar levels and potential type 2 diabetes. And last week we discussed black Frankenmice and how they're fed as much as 54 ounces of food a day to test for diabetes. And in that test, we talked about how 6 1/4 ounces are pure sugar, 3 1/2 ounces of pure fat, and over 24 ounces of maltodextrin, MSG, and stuff from genetically modified corn. So I wonder why every one of these tests on mice shows some type of aggravated diabetes problems. Well, I think we figured it out, Simon, that 175 grams of sugar, which is 6 1/4 ounces, is about 3 times the weight of a black mouse. And, you know, I remember I did the math. It'd be like Jan feeding you 453 pounds of sugar a day, which she probably would only want to do if she were trying to poison you, right?
So I'm still working on, 10 years ago. I've still got parts of that pile left.
I'm sure. But, you know, before we jump in, we need to talk about high fructose corn syrup as part of the sugar. We've written a number of articles you've published, and we've written several books on it, including It's Not Your Fault and Manny's Diet and Enzyme Formula. In fact, our new book, The Food Generation Papers, was published yesterday, but probably won't be up on Amazon for another week. But I want to discuss a 2009 study in the Journal of Clinical Investigation about foods and beverages, how they're typically sweetened 50% glucose and 50% fructose. And let me explain what that means. That means that when you see sweeteners in your sugar, in your foods, whether it's a package or soft drink, it means besides that sugar, there's another 50% of sweetener added in the form of high fructose corn syrup, okay? So we're going to get into some numbers about how much is in food and try to take what we discussed last week and put it into some practical terms. But before, I want to underscore something that really bothers me, and it comes back to our ongoing weekly discussion about fraudulent tests. Consumer Reports have independently tested such products as fast food burgers, French fries, and a variety of soft drinks and other things, and found they contain 2 1/2 times more of the ingredients that set forth in the label. So where Coke says they have 40 grams of sugar, they found it's really more like 80. Now, they haven't clarified in that report, which I read, whether that also includes the high fructose corn syrup, because Ashley throughout the time has always said to me, well, doesn't the sugar include what's the high fructose corn syrup? Well, according to these studies, particularly the one in the Journal of Clinical Investigation and the Consumer Reports, the answer is no. So whatever sugar you see on a label, multiply it by 2 1/2 times, and you probably have the real sugar. So it's back to our book, It's Not Your Fault. If you don't know the truth about what you're eating, it's hard for you to give it up. And when your doctor tells you, well, you're getting too much sugar, what he should be saying to you is you need to watch these brands because they're lying to you about the sugar, and you're getting 2 1/2 times more sugar that's in the box. So no matter how much sugar you think you've reduced your life to, there's really 2 1/2 times to it. So I'm going to start the conversation with one product and see how you guys feel about it, okay?
Oh, okay. Before you do that, I'm going to ask one of my famous stupid questions. Who regulates what people put on the ingredient list?
The FDA and the USDA, you know, basically put out some rules. As far as controlling it, they don't put any effort into it. As far as requiring the truth, they don't want the truth because most of the officials are appointed from the food and drug industry. There are issues like for a while there were all these cereals with Smart Choice on it because it was supposedly really good for you. And then independent studies showed that it had huge amounts of sugars. So let me give you an example. Fruit Loops, which is popular with children, had 56 grams of sugar. Well, in reality, according to a lot of other tests, like Consumer Report tests, it was really over 100 grams of sugar. 41% of Fruit Loops is sugar, okay? Now, I don't see that on the box anywhere, do you? So here you are feeding your children, and let's say it's a hyperactive 3 or 4-year-old. The doctor says, don't give them candy bars and too many soft drinks because the sugar makes them hyper. And they go, okay, how about some Fruit Loops, honey? So they're pumping 41% sugar by weight into that bowl of sugar, plus some kids put sugar on it, and they wonder why this child is now hyperactive and putting on weight like crazy. So that's basically my understanding how the FDA works. And Ashley, you want to talk to us about RDAs, the recommended daily allowance of sugar?
Before we did do that, what I wanted to say was, The new thing that the high fructose corn people are now saying is that kids do not get hyper with sugar. Did you read that one?
I don't know if you just answered the question.
Yes. RDAs. He wanted to talk about RDAs and who's actually putting the RDAs out there, Manny. Is that what you wanted?
I'll tell you what. Why don't I just answer the question?
Okay.
RDAs stand for recommended daily allowances. And basically, there's a group of people in the industry who put together these recommended daily allowances that go from Snickers, Mars Company down the line, and basically have a self-interest in selling you sugar. So for a period of time, they wanted the sugar level to be about 2,400 grams. American Heart Association said it shouldn't exceed 1,500, but most scientists said it ought to be zero because you get enough natural for sugar in your food. So every time you say, well, this has the recommended daily allowance of sugar, understand that number is extraordinarily high for what you should consume every day. So, Simon, how do you feel about those numbers in the Fruit Loops?
I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked. The big food industry is out to make profits, and sugar is a great opportunity because you can lure in the younger and younger consumer. You know, you're the busy mother, you've got two kids dragging along, you're grocery shopping, and they're going, mom, Fruit Loops. And mother buys them. She doesn't bother reading the label, although it really wouldn't matter if she did read the label. You know, she's not going to learn the truth because we don't need to know the truth. I mean, it's sickening.
It is sickening. One of the things that bothers me with this particular list of Fruit Loops, Manny, is what type of sugar is it actually? Because it starts off with it just says sugar. So what is that type of sugar? Is it coming from high fructose corn syrup? Is it maltodextrose? What kind of sugar are they when they just flatly say sugar? And then
sugar
go,
is, but we know the answer to that, Ashley.
Right, but the,
I mean,
like
the,
you're saying,
the
Simon, the average mom will pick up that box and say, oh, you know, or the kid's going to pick it up not knowing any better and say, gee, Mom, I really want this, you know. Oh, got to have my Fruit Loops. I mean, we all did it as kids. And you look at it and you look at the ingredients and it's highly toxic. When they did Princeton rat studies and they were doing it on high fructose corn syrup, they effectively found that they absolutely had caused metabolic syndrome, which is a form of diabetes, and it absolutely caused an increase in belly fat, which is that belly fat, that visceral belly fat that goes with type 2 diabetes, increased the triglycerides, which is your bad cholesterol, bad triglycerides are the bad ones, and it caused an abnormal weight gain. So how, here you have children going, oh, mommy, I want my Fruit Loops, and mom's thinking, well, you know, at least I can get some wheat into the child. I can get some oats into the child. You know, I can get what they're saying, grains, because I'm sure that box is full of grains, and not realizing that this is filled full of synthetics and chemicals. And, I mean, blue dye number 2 and the red dyes, these have all been found to be cancerous. So you're going from sugar to cancer to synthetics, and just in that whole little box of Fruit Loops, you're getting this toxic mix for your child, who today may look fine and dandy, but ongoing, this child's going to get sicker and sicker because it's not just in the Fruit Loops. As Manny goes on, it's going to be in other foods.
But my good friends at the Corn Refiners Association tell me that sugar is sugar.
Oh,
I mean, does
God.
It matter where the sugar comes from?
Well, this particular clinical test that I cited in the Journal of Clinical Investigation 209 not only tells where the sugar, more important, where the sugar comes from, it points out something we don't discuss often on this show, and that is that sugar is basically digested in different parts of your body. So unrefined sugar is really done in your stomach and passed easier through your intestines. But the refined sugar and all the other things that go with it are basically digested in a lower portion of your colon, which means that that part of the digestion allows greater amount of it to pass through into the body. So there's a higher absorption rate of this junk sugar versus unrefined sugar. So at the end of the day, yes, I think there's a major difference is what we can tell from all this.
It is a very major difference, especially with the insulin and how the body can't use it because it's so toxic. So rather than breaking it down, it's left as a toxin in the body. And then as they keep doing the studies, they're finding more and more that this is causing this added obesity. And every single one of the rat studies show increased obesity every time they use high fructose corn syrup. And we've gotten away from one of the primary roles of your carbohydrates, which are sugars and starches, is to provide energy to the cells in the body, and particularly the brain. The brain is the only carbohydrate-dependent organ in the entire body. So your entire body is dependent on the proper kind of sugar, sugar that we can metabolize, sugar that the insulin within the body can break down. And high fructose corn syrup is something, because it's a chemical and chemically made, it cannot be broken down in the body properly. Plus, it causes allergies and intolerances, which we'll get into later.
Well, that's part of the issue with the digestion and the absorptive processes. If you can't digest it, you can't absorb it, then your body becomes intolerant to it and ultimately allergic to it. So the more of this type of sugar you have, which is called added sugar, which is sugar that's added to food and includes everything from sucrose to high fructose corn syrup, honey, molasses, and other syrups, the more you intake of those, the less your body's able to function with them. Because now high fructose corn syrup represents 40% of the caloric sweeteners added to foods and beverages. And I'm talking about, you look at a can of beans, it'll have like high fructose corn syrup. You'd be shocked at what's in that.
But they're changing the name.
I'm going to take you back to a computer story. That there were theories in the 1970s and 1980s about how to produce a computer that could deal with not just one user, you know, your PC, but a computer that could deal with many users. And that there was a couple of terms that spring to mind, the first in, first out theory, you know, meaning whoever got there first, you know, was the first one to get service. There was the LIFO theory, last in, first out, which I never subscribed to. And there was a third one that we joked about as we wrote code, the first in, still here theory. You know, we called it the fish theory. Now, I'm beginning to think that some of these sugars are in the third category, the first in, still here. You don't get rid of them. The body does not digest them. They don't end as output, as us computer geeks would say. They just hang around. Am I correct in that analogy?
Yes. You know what you call that? Body fat. Because that's what happens to it. it sticks to the body, and that's where people gain weight and start acquiring what's commonly referred to as body fat. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And, Manny, absolutely. And the excess of what is called the fructose, which they use that name to confuse everybody, because fructose is actually fruit. And they use fructose when they're talking about high fructose corn syrup, which it is not. Fancy way of getting everybody confused. And you're absolutely right. This metabolizes to produce fat. While when you have glucose, which is your organic sugars from the sugar cane, 100% sure glucose, it gets processed and it goes into energy. And that gets stored as carbohydrate called glycogen, which then is in the liver and it's in the muscles and it's used for energy and it's used for the brain so that you can function, because you need that in your body. But the need is not what they're putting into all the food as corn. All this processed, really bad for you, not fructose, but, you know, they steal the name to confuse everybody and get it all. It's the most confusing thing to try to interpret when you get through what their advertisers do with their product. Because it's about selling the product and selling corn as opposed to corn sweeteners, as opposed to what's really good and what your body needs.
Yeah, I'd argue with that. It really is. You know, and that's one of our problems in this country, is they're more interested in making money off sugar than they are what they give humans. And let's talk about that. We've talked about that. Let's go to one of my favorites, okay? And I was still on Fruit Loops. What I didn't mention about Fruit Loops is Fruit Loops has about 30 other ingredients in it, from corn flour, wheat flour, wheat oak flour. They use coconut oil, cottonseed oil, soybean oil, all from GMOs. So here, basically, you're giving your child a genetically modified breakfast with sugar on it, with refined sugar on it, and you wonder why that child gains weight and whatever. I can tell you that if I eat that, I can put on 5-10 pounds a week, and if I can, I can't imagine what others do. So I want to take another popular item that should be simple. You make a donut at home. It's flour, water, some sugar, and you fry it, sadly. And that's the biggest problem with donuts, is they're made in a frying pan and oil. But a Krispy Kreme donut has probably, and I think I have it listed, approximately 54 ingredients. They have 5 different forms of high fructose corn syrup and maltodextrin, which is corn syrup and MSG, basically. And they list corn solids, dextrose. So basically, you're talking about something that shows sugar on the basic package, or in fact, if you buy them in a store, it doesn't show any of them, okay? So you're buying a product, when you walk, go, give me a half dozen, give me a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. Each one has 60 ingredients, 47 different salts, including MSG. Each donut has 15 grams of refined sugar, but with the 5 forms of the other ones, you can go 2.5 times. It's really got about 35 to 40 grams of sugar, and it could be, as some people, like I saw a report out of Consumer Reports and someone else, that questioned whether it could be as much as 60 grams of sugar. So someone who eats a couple of donuts in the office is having 120 grams of sugar before lunch, having just donuts, but it looks innocent. You walk in, the guy's making fresh donuts. You can see them being made. There are trays and trays of donuts. And by the way, I that is a simple sugar donut. I haven't even gotten one stuffed with jelly. I haven't gotten into chocolate-covered ones. They use this junky chocolate full of high-fructose corn syrup. And at the end of the day, God only knows how much is in that thing. And yet people woof them down, and they have no clue, because they certainly look fresh when they bought them, don't they? So every time you look at a donut, Simon, you're going to look a little bit differently, aren't you?
Well, I'm not a donut eater, and I never have been. And I won't get into my donut story.
Well, Ash, you have any comments about donuts? Because you don't eat donuts anymore either.
Oh, I don't. I actually really like donuts, but
yeah.
I will not touch a donut. It has, as you say, Manny, it's like radiating with stuff.
We have more than one friend who's addicted to Krispy Kreme donuts, and, And one of them, Ashley, joked, used to look for Krispy Kreme donut places on the way home to eat a few on the way home.
And she warned me, don't ever eat one because you're going to be addicted. She couldn't stop eating them. She would eat them like 6 to 12 at a time.
But this is back to the point in her book, It's Not Your Fault. Why are they addicting? Because of all the MSG, which is addicting,
right,
and all the refined sugar, which is addicting. So
plus you have the corn. And the corn is going to cause you to have the intolerance. And intolerance, the weirdest thing with the body is that the body, as you become intolerant towards something, which the corn does, that you're going to want it. You're going to crave it. You're going to want it. You're going to be addicted to it. And so here you have a substance that has a lot of corn in it. And it's not the only corn that you're going to eat that day. Every time you turn around, something else is going to have corn in it, whether it's your Splenda, because, hey, you're going to be good today while you're eating your Krispy Kreme, or something else, and it's going to have corn in it.
Okay. Well, let's get into some self-analysis. I confess, I stand up. I used to be a sugar addict. I'm no longer a sugar addict, and I'm going to talk about two of my worst addictions. I grew up in Los Angeles where See's candies have been king since a childhood. One time my mother used to drive down to La Cienega, and just south of Beverly Hills area where the corporate offices were, to buy it because there weren't that many stores, and she would buy them by the case. Oh, God, everyone I know, I have a couple of friends of the same passion. If I see them at parties, I start to get the shakes, until a couple of years ago when I started looking at the ingredients, and when I found out how much high fructose corn syrup, refined sugar, and other chemicals were in C's, which used to be natural chocolates made from foreign chocolates, were 63% to 93% cocoa, are now made from the same 23% junk sugar with all this stuff in it. I understood why I was addicted. I was addicted to the chemicals in it. And every time I looked at a See's candy for a while, I look at it and go, that's a high fructose corn syrup bar. And it stopped me to do it. And after I didn't eat one for about, I don't know, a few months, usually they show up at Easter, Christmas, parties, and other things, I can look at them now and I'm just repulsed because I realize that's not chocolate. That's just high fructose corn syrup. And my only reason for eating that is I became addicted to high fructose corn syrup. And when I eliminated high fructose corn syrup from my diet, I dropped 50 pounds so fast I didn't know what happened.
It's true, you did.
Yeah. So that's an example of one kind of personal addiction. I mean, I have friends. I used to like Snickers. Snickers are the only candy bars I really ate. Well, Snickers and Milky Way are made by Mars, and they've turned their candy bars into junk. A Milky Way and a Snickers has about 24 different ingredients. They come with 70 grams of sugar. More than likely, it's over 100 grams. Snickers lists 100 grams. It's more like 150 grams. So, and this is all from high fructose corn syrup, refined sugar, and it has all sorts of things, maltodextrin, MSG in my chocolate make me throw up.
Well, that MSG, just because we have gone over it before, Manny, what it does is it affects your appetite center. So it affects that part of your brain that makes you hungry. You're going to eat, and overeat.
Yeah. So the minute I started looking at that as a high fructose corn syrup bar, I stopped eating them, and I can tell you it's been probably 4 years since I've had one. It's 3 or 4 years since I've been eating C's, and I don't have to go, God, I'm addicted to it. I'm not addicted. I got up one day and accepted I was addicted to high fructose corn syrup, and by stopping it, I could reduce my weight. And that's where you got to, right?
Absolutely. And the fact that we found a C's bar was about a year ago, after we had been organic for so long, that we were both saying, oh, geez, we just want to try it. It was horrible. I was so disappointed, because what happens is your taste buds start to come back, and you now know what sugar is supposed to taste like and what the food is supposed to taste like, and so your sense of smell and your senses that God gave you come back, and all of a sudden you start tasting this food that you thought was so, you had to have. You just don't even want to eat it. It's so bad. Didn't you find that true, Manny?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't swallow any of them.
I had a great opportunity couple of months ago. A very good friend of Jan and mine sent us some chocolate. And I love chocolate. I mean, chocolate's the thing. But I had lost interest in the commercial chocolate. And due to you two folks, I mean, thanks for spoiling my fun. Yeah, I'd figured out that chocolate was no longer chocolate. It was great. It was organic. It was yummy. And it lasted a long time. You didn't have to eat the whole bar in one go. You know, just a couple of small pieces gave you that warm, yummy feeling that only real chocolate can. I feel sorry for the youngsters today that walk into a 7-Eleven and buy themselves a Snickers or a Mars bar. That's not chocolate.
That's exactly our point. And as you know, we covered some length in our book, and I'm glad you enjoyed the chocolate. When I made some of those suggestions to your friend, I wasn't sure you were going to come back and kill me for it. So I'm really happy you enjoyed it, because there is a difference. When you go out and you have chocolate that comes from, say, Madagascar, which is a common place for it to come from, and you taste that and you see what it's really like, you go, I haven't been eating chocolate. I mean, what is this about? You realize that basically we've all been eating junk all these years. And I don't know when the decline started, you know, completely, because they're never going to admit to you when they started putting all this stuff in. But it's been in the last 20-odd years since high fructose corn syrup has become so popular. But basically, anyone who's buying a candy bar in the store is buying junk. There's no other description for it, right?
Right, absolutely right. Now, the question I have is, why has high fructose corn syrup become such an important player in the sugar game?
Well, it's a classic American story. It's cheap for corporate businesses, and if it's cheap, they'll use it. And as long as they can buy something cheaper than the next thing. If there's one thing we've noticed in the last 10 to 15 years, American businesses are dominated by how cheaply they can make things and make money. There's no longer any care or concern for quality in the United States. It's all about money, 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 money. And if we can't make it for money here, we'll lay off our entire staff and we'll move abroad and we'll make it abroad for more money, 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 money. And that's become our national anthem. It's all started with a Gordon Gekko, Greed is Good, from the movie Wall Street. And I think rather than people being repulsed by it, they adopted it. And they actually liked this. I mean, they started out loving the Greed is Good because they thought they could get a piece of the greed. And now they find it's limited to corporate finance. They're starting to change their attitude. But until we change that greed factor in our country and make corporations act with more responsibility, you're going to be eating garbage. It's that simple.
Plus, Manny, it's disturbing to me to know that a little child is going to get a box of Fruit Loops filled with all these chemicals plus genetically modified corn. So they're getting BT toxin, they're getting viruses, they're getting sugar. I mean, this is one toxic thing after another that's being fed to our Americans right now. So that a child right now at the age of 20, good luck on a health. Good luck on the fact that their probability of being a diabetic, well, you might as well just sign up now, because if that's the future of how people are going to feed their children and go buy this, you know, let me go grab a chocolate bar off the thing because, you know, my kid sees that chocolate bar and that's what they want. That's not the chocolate bar anymore. That's a high fructose corn syrup chemical, and you don't even see all the chemicals. Because the chemicals that are listed on that is they also have the additional things that they put in it, so you can have up to 200 different flavoring that's actually up to 200 chemicals. So you see Manny's reading chemicals, and you can add another 200 chemicals to that because you don't know what those chemicals are. Protected. They're all protected. It's in your future of you and your children are based on what you're putting into your mouth right now today.
Yep, hard to argue with that. But this is, when you listen to it, is one of the primary reasons why we're going through these numbers, is to make people realize what's being put in their food. And hopefully when they realize what's being put in their food, then they will stand up to this and they will start demanding something better than what they're being fed today. And I think that's the biggest problem, don't you, Simon? It goes back to the beginning. Lack of labeling, lack of truth and disclosures, a lack of truth about what we're doing in manufacturing, and basically it's a callous disregard for Americans. Because right now we have a battle in our country over whether or not to list genetically modified foods, and which is a very interesting battle, because basically the industry is opposing it. Why are they opposing it? Because they know if you know the truth, you will not buy their crap. It's really that simple. Americans are smart, and they know we're smarter than all that. In fact, that's one of the big things in Europe, is anywhere where it's model, they put it on the labels, it's being treated like poison, which is pretty much what it is. So if the Europeans think it's poisonous, what the Americans do is say, oh, they're just emotional, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, go to Europe and look how thin Europe is. Look at how few people in Europe are overweight. And ask yourself, why are they keeping their weight down so low? Gee, maybe because they won't eat high fructose corn syrup and all the crap manufactured in the United States. You think that might have something to do with it? And yet we call people stupid.
I think it has a great deal to do with it. Truth in labeling is a really, really hot button of mine. The average American is not dumb, right? The average American is actually a very smart consumer. So how come we can't go to the store and see GMO added on the labels of stuff? You know, how come they are doing that in parts of Europe?
Well, first of all, basically when we look at the USDA and the FDA and look at who's appointed by the president, and Obama's been just as bad as his predecessor Bush, and they appoint people from the industry, Monsanto primarily, and who's the manufacturer or the creator, shall we say, of genetically modified corn, which is later turned into the high fructose corn syrup. Their corporate counsel, Michael Taylor, is in a power position within the USDA. He was responsible for the approval of genetically modified foods in the 90s while serving as a temporary part of the FDA. So right now, our foreign trade negotiators, the former Monsanto employee, I mean, just go down the list. They're just one fox in the hen house after the other. And why do they do this? Political contributions. Why do you think Obama appointed them? They donated huge sums to his campaign fund. And in one case, one of Monsanto's attorneys was a law school classmate of Mrs. Obama. So that plays into it, too. Better access to the White House. So as you look at it down the line, what is polluting our country time and time again are politics, politics, politics. And here we are with a debt problem in our country and what's going to be a holy war between our parties. And why is this holy war going on? Very simple. It's about money. Nobody can dare vote against these major corporations. So it's okay to cut Medicare and it's okay to cut Social Security, but don't you dare consider cutting anything that could show a profit for a major corporation. So, or anyone in the war. I mean, basically, all we have to do is cut out foreign aid to wonderful countries like, how about Pakistan, who fosters not only terrorism, but is responsible for more than 80 American deaths next month? We send them a couple $1 billion. Let's just cut them off. We don't need to send them money. I don't like sending money to my enemy, do you? I mean, really, what is this about? So at the end of the day, we need to stand up and scream and yell about the way our government just arbitrarily spends our money on things that benefit major corporations and major corporations only. And such is the case of high fructose corn syrup and labeling. because guess what? They can't sell these products abroad. So they've effectively destroyed our balance of foreign trade by the fact that they refuse to sell products that can sell on the foreign market. So what good is high fructose corn syrup if we can't sell it to anybody in the world? That's a good question, isn't it?
Oh, it's a great question. I know that today's subject is sugar, so I'm going to go back there. But there are more than one types of sugar. There's cane sugar, there's beet sugar, and then we have all of these interesting artificial sugars. Where they come from, only the laboratory really knows. There's one in particular, and the name has escaped me, but I saw an advert for it a couple of days ago, and it just made me giggle. Do you need vitamins in your coffee? Do you have enough fiber in your diet? If you don't, we have the solution for you. Yeah, one of those little yellow packets that you find at, you know, every coffee house. Oh, I'll take a, you know, a large latte and grab a yellow packet. Oh, I got some vitamin B. Or grab the other yellow packet. Oh, I've got some fiber. I'll be good for the day. I mean, does anyone buy into this garbage?
I'm still trying to figure that out, although I see people look at things that with the favorite BS line that I can think of, and it is BS, cow manure, is vitamin enriched. Well, whatever vitamins they use are really synthetic. So they're not really vitamin enriched. They're enriched by the use of chemicals. So what good does that do for you to have, feed your child synthetic chemicals? I mean, Ashley, you have a comment on that?
Last week we never got to this, so I have to do this this week. And I'm going to do this really slowly. Splenda, which is one that you brought up. And that's one of the little packages that you find on the counter. So, in the Splenda, it's treated with tritochloride, acetic anhydride, hydrogen chlorine, thiolin chloride, methanol. It goes on and on. Acetic acid, ammonia chloride, sodium methoxide. And as it goes on, you go on chlorine. It's considered a carcinogen. Chlorine is one of them. It's a carcinogen. Poisonous gas. It's a disinfectant. Pesticides and plastics is what that one is used in. And they say the word sucralose because they want to keep everybody confused because sucralose sounds like sucrose. So it's not a sugar. And what it does is it causes symptoms like, you know how after you eat something you go, oh my gosh, I'm bloated, or I might feel a little nauseated or have some diarrhea. Some people get rashes. They start having itching and swelling, and they have, you can even get palpitation from it. You can have mood swings from it, get angry, be up and down, have depression. I mean, these are things that this Splenda actually causes and has been known to cause. Why? Again, if Splenda is made out of corn, and it's made with all this mix of chemical, it's a long laundry list of chemicals that you're now taking and you're going, let me just flick this and put this into my food. Let me see. Oh, my gosh, that's in my kid's cereal. Oh, okay. They should put all the chemical list of what they do when they do this on the chemical list. Would you buy that or put that package in your tea if you knew that's what that was, Simon?
No, but I mean, they do claim that one particular variety has fiber in it. I mean,
well, even with fiber. If they put fiber in it and then listed all these other chemicals, and, oh, by the way, with a little warning box saying, this is, you know, poisonous gas, it's used for pesticides and plastics, would you buy it?
No, I wouldn't, but...
I mean, seriously.
Well, wait a minute.
Maybe if I don't have enough fiber in my diet, I might go, oh, okay, zero calories, and it has fiber. You know, this must be good for me.
Well, but Simon, let's talk about that fiber. That fiber comes from genetically modified wheat. So here you have GMO wheat, which has toxins in it, which are, Ashley, you can give us the stats in a moment that has, I mean, there's just countless tests that have come out recently that show there's a dangerous bug in it. One of Monsanto's own employees blew the whistle on them and said basically this stuff is dangerous. He even went out and did it without submitting it to the FDA because he was afraid it was going to get squashed by the might of Monsanto, whose reaction to it was to say, oh, this guy was always a troublemaker when he worked for us. Yeah, I'm right. I'm sure when he was turning out all those tests, he was really a big troublemaker. You know how that goes. As long as they're doing what you want, they're wonderful. And the minute you do something the industry doesn't want, you're terrible, right?
Right.
So this guy just went from the penthouse to you know where, because he had the nerve to disagree with his former employer, who is probably the largest and most dangerous and evil corporation in the United States. And I say that not lightly. I mean, they've already been voted the most criminal corporation in the world by at least one group. So we're talking about a country sold napalm that was basically used to kill people in Vietnam, and depending upon your political beliefs, the rest of it, that may or may not bother you. But how about the same basic ingredients being used with dioxin that wiped out an Alabama town? Or, gee whiz, how about their efforts in a southern Missouri town that just left people deformed and a huge problem? I mean, these people, it isn't that they take their bad news abroad all the time. They're killing Americans every day, and nobody cares because guess what? They're politically connected. So the bottom line is someone needs to save Americans from all these companies that are politically connected, who are just using it to abuse them and make money. And
are you trying to tell me that I probably shouldn't be using Splenda with fiber?
So, Manny, I don't think so, Simon. I think, Manny, you're saying, too, that means that the Splenda is made by a chemical company that is also going to be working with Monsanto. Or do they start with Monsanto because it's maltodextrous?
Well, you know, I've forgotten who makes, and that's terrible because I have momentarily forgotten who makes Splenda, but it is one of the big chemical companies that we discuss all the time. Do you remember, Simon?
I don't. And, you know, I was making light of a very, very serious issue.
No, it's scary to me.
It's a unit of Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, there you go.
Boy. Hey.
Drug makers are making your sickening sugar. So that's making you sick, and then you're going to take some drugs from Johnson & Johnson.
Uh-huh.
But they make the best baby powder.
Well, you know, recently... not recently, about 4 years ago, the makers of Splenda, Johnson & Johnson, were ordered to pay millions, $355 million, because they were passing these little yellow packets off as a natural product, not artificial sweeteners. And that goes back to the dishonesty of major corporations. They've cornered Splenda, a $1.5 billion, that is a blockbuster drug, for sugar substitutes, through false advertising that implies Splenda contains sugar, and that's what the manufacturer of Equal said in the lawsuit, and they managed to do very well with it. So, I mean, these people, Equal, Sweet, and Low, I will tell you, they will say anything that they can to get you to buy their products. So, yes, every one of these are owned by major corporations. One of the reasons that Coke and Pepsi are going to Peruvian Trivia, their own synthetic version of stevia, is so they don't have to pay another big food company for that, because some of these companies are rivals on different fronts, and it sort of galls them to have to buy stuff from their competitor. Oh, gee whiz. I mean, you're talking about, you know, some serious issues with these corporations. They truly do not want to support their competitors. So what we have is this constant battle in the industry between people who are basically competing with the same products. So how is that working for us? Well, the American public's suffering, just what you would expect.
Oh, and one of the worst parts with the trivia, Manny, is that the additive that they do with the trivia actually causes crystallization, which they don't say any. I don't see a warning label anywhere in trivia for that one. So if you have crystallization that's occurring, what happens with crystals? You're going to get gout. You're going to have kidney stones. So people are actually taking and going, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the zero calorie, like you're saying, Simon. I'm going to go do this because then that way I'm going to keep myself, I'm going to keep my blood sugar down. I know because I did this game. I'm going to keep my blood sugar down. I'm going to keep myself very, very healthy. And you're actually making yourself worse because your body cannot break the substances down. And other things happen within your body while it's trying to break it down. Again, the crystalline
I think you just hit the nail on the head, right? There's lots of people that are going, wow, you know, I really need to lose a few pounds, but I love sugar. So, yeah, everyone's telling me, you know, sugar's the culprit. So I'm, you know, when I get my cup of coffee, I'm just going to take one of those little packets and I won't get the calories. And let's face it, no calories, no weight gain. But that's not the way it works.
No, it actually causes weight. In some instances, it actually causes weight, and it will actually weight increase. And it'll cause weight increase around the belly fat because of the fact that the body can't break it down. So you have, you know, everybody says, you know, gee, I wish I owned an island. God blessed us all with this island when we were born. And the island's in the pancreas. And you look at it, it's got the Isle of Langerhans. We all were born with this fantastic island that squirts out insulin. If you put the right thing into your body, God says, God, I'm going to give everybody an island. You've got islands. Let them work properly. Get rid of this junk and put the organic in your body. And don't buy into the advertiser's crap because your body cannot absorb it, can't break it down. We'll end up with inflammation because your body can't break it down. You may not see it today, but good luck 5 years from now.
Well, let's talk about some other solutions to it. A practical one. You know, every once in a while, I like every red-blooded American, I like chocolate chip cookies. At a certain time of night, when everybody starts looking for something, chocolate chip cookies are really great. But in olden days, if you went out and bought a chocolate chip cookie, and it was natural, you know, it was definitely fattening, whatever, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world. Well, one day I realized the chocolate chip cookies you buy in the store are so full of high fructose corn syrup, refined sugars, and all these things that they were actually worse for me than I could ever dream of. So I stopped eating them entirely. And not too long ago, I got a craving for some, and Ashley said, well, let me make you some. So she embarked on a little journey to teach herself to make organic chocolate chip cookies. So it took her a couple runs through to get it right. Like anybody who cooks, you know that the first couple attempts are never going to be perfect. They were very edible. They were delicious. But then she got really good. And now she makes these chocolate chip cookies that are basically have unrefined sugar and very few ingredients. And I can eat them and I don't pack the pounds on because there's no garbage in them. Yeah, I can't run out and eat the whole box. I mean, everybody wishes they could, but that's not reality.
But you seem satisfied. It's like Simon was saying, you ate a cookie and you were satisfied.
Yeah, I no longer eat one and then want to eat two and then want to eat 10 and then want to eat 20. Like most people who have a problem with this, and that's the real difference, is that you can get through your life eating far less of these things if you have natural sugar. And so when you talk about giving up sugar, the first thing you need to do in your life is give up refined sugar. And with refined sugar, you have to simultaneously give up any product with high fructose corn syrup. That doesn't mean you give up your favorite food. You just give up the version made with all the garbage in it. So if you want a chocolate chip cookie, get an organic chocolate chip cookie. If you want ice cream, skip the Baskin and Robbins, skip all of the other brands, I'll give an example of another bad one, Ben and Jerry's, which used to be natural. Now it's all synthetic garbage. And buy the real deal. And guess what? You'll eat less. You'll consume less sugar. Your weight will drop. And what you're going to be surprised to find is that your food costs go down. People always say to me, well, organic food costs so much. Not if you only eat one cookie. I don't care how cheap the cookies are. If you're addicted and you've got to eat 4, 5, 6 cookies to satisfy your taste because of they're basically synthetic, guess what? You're going to gain weight and you're going to eat more of them. So if you want to curb, all you have to do is curb your desires for sugar is to give up the junk you're eating and eat good sugar. You don't overeat good sugar, and it's not the answer to everything, but you can make a dramatic impact on your life that way.
And the stevia, which we talked about last week, organic stevia, if it's a little tiny bottle. It doesn't take much. So if you want sugar where you're going, just throw the little bottle in your purse. Stick it in your pocket, you know, for guys. It's a small bottle. So you actually can take your organic sugar with you that actually is good for your body. Your body can metabolize it as opposed to this other chemical. I mean, how bad is a chemical when a large amount of these artificial sweeteners actually taste like metallic, have a metallic taste to them? So they've had to add more blockers to hide the metallic taste. I mean, it's bad for you.
Yeah, they actually make a product, Simon, called Bitter Blocker, so you don't taste how bad these things are.
Oh,
so
my
they make
God.
A bad product, and then they've got to make another product to hide the taste of the bad product.
Mm. I've got to admit, I was laughing over your cookie story. I do have this nasty habit. I enjoy a cookie while I'm watching TV, you know, laying in bed. And I get beaten senseless over her crumbs. Yeah, they apparently are hard things to sleep on. Yeah, they wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning. What the hell's that? And I've cut down the crumb problem considerably because I only eat one cookie. Yeah, there's a lot less crumbs with one cookie than 6 cookies.
That's the pee in the pod story, right? Isn't that the fairy tale of pee in the pod?
Well,
she couldn't sleep
because
of the pee in her bed.
You know, when I was younger, I almost drowned in cookie crumbs, actually, but now I survived. Not just joking.
And I stopped having any cookies at all in bed because somehow they would walk on Manny's side of the bed and he would not be pleased with me.
Oh,
I rolled over into many a residue left by my wife.
So I've cut that part out.
Yeah, but I think homemade cookies using great ingredients, you don't need more than one. And there's limited crumb damage in the bed.
Well, I think we're going to save sheets everywhere, Simon. You know, we're getting towards the end of the show, and I guess we can only beat the sugar to death so much today, although I'd like to beat it some more. It's such a problem in our country. But our last thoughts for the day are really that you can stop the sugar problem. If you're having problems with sugar addiction or you're concerned about your children's sugar addiction, then get rid of refined sugar. Buy unrefined sugar, pure cane sugar from Hawaii or from the Caribbean. Make sure it says unrefined sugar or raw sugar. And you'll find it has 80 different vitamins and other ingredients in it.
Organic vitamins.
And if you want Danish, make it home. You want cookies, make it at home. Or go to an organic bakery where they're not doing that and avoid all this stuff. And do it for a month. Just try it. Just in your life for 1 month, give up high fructose corn syrup and refined sugar. And try the unrefined sugar and things that aren't filled with this crap. And ask yourself after a month, do I feel better? Am I lighter? Is my health better? And if you're a type 2 diabetic, you may find that your entire sugar changed. I had a friend who I comment frequently on this show, stop being a diabetic after 8 months on our diet of an enzyme. So the fact is you can do this and you can change your life in a way that's very positive. And we wish everybody luck. So if you have questions, send us a note to our website, howtoeliminatepain.com, and we'll be happy to respond to them and give you some suggestions on things you can eat that'll cause less problems for you and see what we can do to help, because anything we do to change what America eats right now will change the health of America. If we change the health of America, we reduce our health costs. Right, Simon?
Absolutely. And the health costs today are all about reaction rather than prevention. If we spent half the amount of money on prevention, we'd save trillions.
Yeah, we are. Oh, yeah. As we point out, we're a country that reacts to problems. We don't solve them in advance. And that's a sad story, because Americans' lives would change dramatically if we would go back to solving our problems in advance and not relying entirely upon drugs and other things to solve what's going on in this world. And so our thoughts for Americans, again, is take a look at the labels, watch what they say, make sure that you join the food revolution, but with your paycheck, don't buy this stuff. If you don't buy foods with high fructose corn syrup, they'll stop selling them. We've been successful in getting Hunt's to drop high fructose corn syrup. Starbucks has dropped it. Gatorade is dropping, and others. And when I say we, it's not just us. It's the Organic Consumers Association, the Jeffrey Smiths and the Ronnie Cummings and the other people who believe what we believe. Because guess what? We're not alone. There are millions of Americans joining this food revolution, and we intend to change the world. So join us. Change the world. Ashley, any thoughts?
Just stay healthy. Have a great week. And everything you eat today will affect you tomorrow, and just keep that in mind.
I want to thank both of you for taking part in today's program. I think Ashley stole my parting words. I want to wish everyone a happy, safe, and healthy weekend. And we'll be back next Thursday with our sister program, The Food Revolution Papers. That's a program where we get slightly political, I think. Is that true, Manny?
Oh, as often and as much as we can. So we're saving all the nasty politics. So for all those Corn Refiners Association, the listeners, the Monsanto ones, all of them, they're monitoring us right now. Be sure and tune in on Thursday, because we're going to roast you.
Simon, thank you. Thank you to the listeners. I really appreciate today.
What's better than a corn roast?
Roasting Andrew Walker personally over his spit. That's better. Anyway,
okay.
Has a great weekend. Thank you.
All right. Till next time. Goodbye.